I want to go back to where I was at this morning and I didn't get done. I really just kind of contemplated that we really need to go back there. And you know when God puts something on your heart? Now, if you're not a preacher, you may not know what I'm talking about. But if you are, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you empty yourself of what God gave you. Well, I'm running about half full right now as it pertains to this message, because I gave you half of it this morning, and I want to give you the other half tonight. Would you do me a favor and stretch your hand this way? Would you just pray for me this evening that God would touch us and give us ears to hear and a heart to understand the Word and to be able to be obedient to the Word? Father, we just pray, God, even now, that You would touch us and help us, mighty Holy Ghost. As we, Father God, as we preach this Word this evening, Lord, You said in Your Word that it's not by might, nor by power, but it is by Your Spirit. Father, I pray, God, that even now that you would touch us in this room. Touch us, O God, even now that we would receive Your Word and we would know without shadow of a doubt that, God, that the Word of God is in this place, and, God, the Word is in our heart and the Word is in our lips and on our lips. Father, I pray, God, that You would even touch us now, Father, and we pray, God, that You would do this mighty work in the name of Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. We read the text this morning out of John chapter 14. We read that. I want to read it again, and then I want to add some other text with it this evening. When Jesus got ready to depart, we mentioned this morning, He let this early church know that He was going to do something on their behalf and for their benefit, where that they would never have to walk alone. Jesus said He was going to intercede for that early church. He says this in verse 16. He said, I'm going to pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. And He may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said this, and I love this, and this is what, this whole thing has captivated my mind right here. He says in verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I love that. That God said, I'm not going to forget about you. My mission, Jesus was saying, my mission is fulfilled. He went to the cross. He said, my mission is fulfilled, but yet you're still here. We're not in heaven. We got loved ones that's gone on. We got loved ones that's gone on that we would not even dare to think about calling them back to this earth. They're in the presence of God. They're there around the streets of gold and the throne of God. And they're hearing angels cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They're experiencing this place called heaven. What if it was you and I this evening that we only heard about heaven, but we couldn't experience heaven? Now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Ghost, you and I can experience heaven right now in that context. Because He said, I will not leave you by yourself. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. When you go into the book of John, chapter number, let me look here real fast. He says chapter number 15 and verse 26. Again, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He will testify of me. Again, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter that He was going to send from the Father. The Bible lets us know that He's not going to talk of Himself, but He's going to tell the world who Jesus is. Then Jesus said in John 16, in verse number 7, He says these words. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. What does that word mean? Somebody thinks that it means speedily or quickly or something like that. But expedient really means it's profitable for you. It's to your benefit that I go away. Because He said, if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now, when I begin to think about this whole message about the simple fact that we have a comforter, these scriptures, again, come to my mind because of what the Lord was saying. David, again, in the Psalms, we won't necessarily turn back there this morning, but he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you look throughout the scripture in the different meanings of the word comforter, again, the paraclete, the paracletos, we talked about that this morning. One who is called alongside to help. One is who is there to aid you. He says the paraclete was a verb, a word verb that was that suggested the word capability or adaptability for giving one aid. Again, when you think about that, it is God's ability to comfort you and to comfort me as we go through this life. In the understanding of it in the Greek text, it is understanding that it is used in a court of justice, if you will, and it denotes a legal assistant, somebody that's there as a legal assistant, a counsel for the defense, if you will, or one better known as an advocate, one that will stand and plead your case before the judge, if you will. Then generally, one that pleads another's cause, or an intercessor, or an advocate. When we think about these words, you think about the simple fact that we've got one called the Holy Ghost that is forever by our side, that's forever pleading our case before heaven for you and I here this evening. Now, I mentioned this morning. I want to go back and mention it again because of what it said. Because David in the psalmist that said in Psalm 46, he just simply said this. He said that the Lord, he said that in the Word of God, that the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my strength. He says that in the Word. He says he's a very present help in trouble. I wonder how the psalmist knew that, and I wonder how that he was able to write that, simply because, now watch this, because he, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, is a very present help in trouble. In other words, no matter what you and I are going through, we must remind ourselves that God is in control. God is not somewhere off in a far, far land, and many times we have felt like that God is way out yonder, and we feel like that God is nowhere near us. Shake your head at me if you know what I'm talking about. It's like we don't even know where God is. But there's other times in our life that we know without shadow of a doubt that God is right here in our presence right now, and God is here, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, He is interceding for you and for me. No matter what we're going through, He is a very present help in trouble. What does that mean? Well, it means simply this. It means that it means a help that has been found to be reliable. How many of you know that's the truth? That when you think about God as a very present help in time of trouble, that we have found that God is a very reliable strength. And God, we have found Him or proven that God to be a reliable stronghold. In this, it says in our past, so that anything that is in our future, any calamity that we may experience down the road, we know if God has been with us in our past, that if God has brought me through, as David said, the valley of the shadow of death, that no matter what I go through in the future, that God is going to be there with me, and that God is going to be there for me. It was Paul the apostle. And we've read this scripture many, many times in the book of Romans. It was Paul that was able to say this in Romans 8. I believe that Paul knew exactly what he was talking about. When that there in the scripture in the latter part of Romans 8, Paul opens up in verse number 31 and he says this. I hear the Holy Ghost telling me for somebody to listen, that God is getting ready to speak a word over your life. And God says, listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. And I'm not talking about me. I know God's talking to me, but He's talking to somebody too in very specific terms this evening. And the Lord says this, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh my God, have mercy. Even though the enemy, the army of our soul rises up against us, even though we go through the calamities of life, God has proven by the power of the Holy Ghost to be an intercessor, to be one who is pleading our case before God, one who is able to comfort, one who is able. He's a very present help in trouble. He's capable. And he's got the ability, if you will. That's what Comforter talks about. Paul comes back, and Paul was saying this in the Word. He said then in the Scripture, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then he talks about in 32 following, and he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to his charge of God's elect? Look at this. It is God that justifieth. And then he says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hey, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will make intercession in groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Ghost is here even now, and he's praying through you, he's praying through me. And what does that mean? It means that heaven hears it. I don't always understand a prayer language, and I'm not always supposed to, but heaven comes down and the Holy Ghost comes down. Hey, guess what? Jesus understands. Heaven understands. And we can see that heaven understands what you're going through. Heaven understands what I'm going through. And the great thing that we read here is that God is making, Jesus is making intercession for you. And Jesus is making intercession for me. And it's by the power of the Spirit. We see that in the Word. Again, I could turn the page and read this. And you don't need to turn there, Kathy. I'm going to read it, but you don't need to turn there. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I may not always understand it, but I'm telling you that when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene and you begin to pray in the heavenly prayer language of heaven, that God understands it all, my friend. The Holy Ghost is interceding for you. The Holy Ghost is interceding for me. It gave Paul the confidence to come back and write this in the Scripture text, because he says in verse number 35, he says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril? He said, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep before the slaughter, or for the slaughter. He says, nay, in all these things, somebody shout, more. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for that this evening. That's what God said he would do for you, and that's what God said he would do for me. When we begin to think about the Holy Ghost, when we begin to think about the word comforter, I really like this. Because Paul says these words, if God be for me, then who or what or can be against me? I remember the song, and I don't know who sung it or where I even heard the song, but it says that our God is a mountain mover. We're going to face some mountains in this old world, aren't we? That God is still a mountain mover. And I believe as we go through the experience of life, as we've talked about already here this evening, that it is through our experience, as Paul said, hey, he said at the end of this thing, hey, God is for me and not against me. Experience is our teacher. And I believe this, that what God did in the past, God will do it again, and God will touch your life, and what God did then, that God will do now. Why? Because I have a comforter. He uses this word comforter in the context in the scripture. And Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. We use the word another this morning. I mentioned that. I want to do it again. What does that word mean? It means another is the meaning one like unto the same. In other words, an identical twin of what Jesus was. The Holy Ghost is on this earth even right now. So when we think about another word for comforter is perigoria, and we look at this perigoria, and primarily it is a word that means addressing, and it means to address. In other words, it is in the context of addressing one's concerns, that he's concerned about you. Amen. He's concerned about how you feel. He concerns about what you're going through. He's concerned about what I'm going through. So when you look at this word comforter, again, it's perigoria, and primarily as it is used as addressing or to address, which again, to take knowledge of. Aren't you glad that God can take knowledge of you and God can take knowledge of me, and that God knows the feelings of your infirmities and God knows how you feel? To address. He takes concern over your life. The word comforter is that same word. Vine's Dictionary, look it up. And it says here to take knowledge of or concern of. Now I love this one. To pay attention to. How many times in life have you and I felt like that nobody pays even attention to us? Little kid holler, mom, jerking on your coattail. Mom, dad, kid jerking on your coattail. I tell you what, this is how I feel it. I need to say it the way I feel it. You jerk on God's coattail long enough, God will hear you. I believe that. You cry, Abba Father, long enough, God will hear you. How do you know that, preacher? Been there, done that. We've all been there. Maybe you're alone this evening. Maybe you feel like that you've been forsaken. Maybe you're feeling like you're a nobody in a somebody's world. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're important to God. I don't care who you are. I don't care your pedigree is. I don't care where you come from. Don't care where you come from socially. I don't care what your ethnicity is. God loves you just like he loves me. And he loves every person in this room and those watching online, whoever they may be, because God is concerned. Aren't you glad that you've got a God through the power of the Holy Ghost that is concerned about you? Hallelujah. He's concerned about me. Kick the devil in the eye and say, get out of here, devil. I'm tired of the devil. And I'm not going to get off on that right now. But we've allowed the devil to stay and hone us and tone us and kick us around like we're some type of useless piece of junk. It's time for the church of God, the people of God, to stand up and say, hey, I've had about enough of you, devil. Get out of here. Come on, somebody. I've got a Jesus that loves me. I've got a God the Father in heaven that's gone through his son Jesus Christ to prepare a place for me. And I'm so glad to know tonight that I've got a comforter, that when I cry out unto him, that he hears me. What does that word mean further? It simply means, when you think about it, it means primarily an addressing or to address or to take knowledge of. It went on and it talked about this in the dictionary of the Vine's Dictionary, and it said to take knowledge of. Secondly, it talked about concern of, that God's concerned over every need in your life. Somebody says, it's too little for God to be concerned over me. No, it ain't too little. It ain't too big and it ain't too little, because God knows it all. And then he talks about to pay attention to. And again, the word goes on further as a definition of this word, perigoria in the scripture, and it talks about comforter in the text here, and it talks about this, and it talks about that this word actually means a soothing or a solace. That God knows how to soothe you. When David wrote again in the psalm, we read part of it this morning, that the Lord, he anoints my head with oil. God knows how to soothe us. Now, for those of you that's never heard me say this, Brother Scott read the book. I let him borrow it. I read the book years ago. When the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep, let me tell you what would happen, according to study. Philip K. Keller wrote a book years ago, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. He was a shepherd in Scotland. I think it was in Scotland. And then he later wrote the book as he looked at this psalm. And one of the things he said there where he says, the Lord anoints my head with oil. It means a soothing or a solace, if you will. That God knows how to calm. If he's not going to calm the storm, he knows how to calm the child. When the shepherd would begin to take the sheep to anoint the sheep's head, he would take a tar-like substance. And he would anoint that sheep with that tar-type substance, medication. And when I was reading this, it said that these flies, bot flies, a fly would get up into the nasal cavities of a sheep. And they would go up into the nasal passages of a sheep, and they would lay their eggs up into the nasal cavities of the sheep. And then as those eggs begin to hatch, the larva would actually grow up into the sinus cavities of the sheep, and they would live up in the sinus cavities of the sheep. And they hurt so bad that the sheep would actually butt their heads against the wall and against a tree or a stake, trying to get the relief from what was going on in their head. Come on, somebody. They would beat their head so bad that it would absolutely almost kill the sheep because they needed relief. So here comes the good shepherd. And the good shepherd would take this medicine-like substance and put it on his finger, and then he would put that substance up in that sheep's nose, and he would rub it around, and he would push it up into the nasal cavity. He would anoint his head with oil, and it would solve, and it would soothe, and it would kill the flies that was driving the sheep insane as they would beat their head against a stake or whatever it was to try to get relief. I want to tell you something, friend. You and I, as we're traveling through this journey, there's going to be battles, and there is, and I've been there, and we've all been there, but I'm going to tell you something. What we need to do today is to let the good shepherd come by in the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, and anoint my head with oil so that everything that's driving me quote unquote insane, that God will take care of it, and God will bring a healing to the church today, and it only comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. A soothing, a solace. The verbal form again signifies, when you think about this, it signifies medicines which allay or diminish or to put to rest the irritation. Reduce again, to subdue or to reduce in intensity or severity. In other words, this same word that goes on when he talks about comfort, a soothing or a solace, or when the medicine is applied and the anointing is applied to diminish or to put to rest or to subdue. And it says to reduce in intensity or severity. And then it went on to the latter part of that, and it said to quiet or to calm or to subdue. I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost knows how to calm you. He knows how to bring a calmness in the storm. He knows how to speak to you, and he knows how to speak to me, and he knows how to bring that peace to you, and he knows how to bring that peace to me. Another thing, when we think about this, the Holy Ghost, we think about what this particular word comfort means in the scripture. When Moses was there on the mountain, I love this particular grouping of scripture found over in the book of Exodus 33, if you will. It was there when Moses was there, and Moses had the charge of leading the children of Israel out of Pharaoic bondage. And we see God again speaking to the man called Moses. In verse number 11, we see this in Exodus 33, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto a friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let," and he says, "me know whom thou wilt send with me." Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and that thou hast found grace in my sight. And then again, Moses and God having this conversation, it says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. I love that. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this is, the nation is thy people. And again in verse 14, he says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. When I begin to think about that, the Bible reminded us of how that God and Moses was having this conversation. And how that God was telling Moses, if you will go and lead the children of Israel out of Pharaohic bondage. He told him in one place, he said, every place that your foot hits, every place your foot is, I will give it unto you. Again, when God began to speak to Moses, God was giving Moses instruction. God was telling him all along the way, I'm going to do this. And this scripture I just read to you. And he said, thy presence shall go with you. And then he said, and I will give you rest. Now, wouldn't you think that when God spoke to Moses, even in the midst of Moses saying, God, how? I can't even speak. I can't even talk. He said, it's okay. I'll send Aaron and Ur. I'll send ways. And then he sent Joshua, his aide. He was right there with him. We use this song. We sing this song, Waymaker. God is a waymaker. Every day of our life, he's a waymaker. But when we think about this word, comforter, I love it. Again, it's another word that's used in the scripture for the word comforter that simply says this. When Moses was there on the mountain, God brought him comfort. How many of you know when God begins to speak to you, even though you don't understand what's in front of you, somehow or another it brings comfort to you. When you think about this, it's the scripture here. When you think about it, it is a word that is used in the Old Testament as well as the New. God spoke to Moses. It is a word here that that Moses heard. And as Moses heard this word from God, when God began to speak to him, it was God speaking to him to encourage him. It was God speaking to him, and it talked about how that to speak cheerfully. When God, through the power of the Spirit, spoke to Moses, even though this was an audible voice, he spoke to Moses. God was his legal advisor, if you will. God was his pleader, if you will. God was his proxy, if you will. When I looked at that word years ago, I got an insurance card in the mail one year. And it said, we're having a Farm Bureau meeting this date. If you cannot be there, we will stand in proxy for you. I thought, what in the world was that all about? The word proxy, when you think about proxy, one that stands in place for another. Woo! We have an advocate. The church has an advocate. The church has the Holy Ghost. And when we think about this, Moses was there and God was speaking to him. And then we can see that where it says that this word comforter is one who comes forward on behalf of another to represent them. When we think about comforter, we think about Jesus. We think about Jesus' life. We think about Jesus being the one who was our substitutionary, if you will, or our interception, if you will. We think about that word. That he become the substitute. Jesus did. He stood in our place. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go away. Moses said, how am I going to do this? God, Moses, the people. Moses stood in the gap between God and the people. And this is the awesome thing about it today, that we got one standing in the gap for us. The Comforter. We got one standing in our place today before heaven. And it talks about the intercessory. So we see Moses doing that, the last one. And I'll be done, I reckon. It's all I brought with me anyway. And I like this one because it's another word for comforter. And this is an interesting word because it's paramuthos. And I don't do Greek words really good because I don't speak Greek. I just do the best I can when I look at these and I try to break them apart. When you think about another word for comforter, it's paramuthos. So when you think about it, it's a two-section word in the Greek, comforter, paramuthos. Para in the scripture means near. It means near. And muthos means speech. So in this, when we think about the word comforter, it is a word again that is used as speaking closely to anyone. Paramuthos. Para means near. Muthos means to speak. It's not a difficult thing for me to understand that heaven comes down and speaks through the heart of man. People think that it's weird to speak in other tongues and as the Spirit of God. And I know there's wildfire. I know that. And I know everything that speaks in tongues is not of God. I know that. And I don't want to get off on a rocky path right here. I've had people treat me bad years and years and years ago and talk in tongues in a church service. It's like, dude, that ain't going to work with me. I mean, that don't even make sense. You can't treat me the way you've been treating me and then you come all up in here and act all spiritual. Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, long-suffering. We're a fruit tree. How many of you know you're kind of fruity? You're a fruit tree. And all the people around us, they ought to be able to see some type of manifestation on your fruit tree. If you go back in Galatians chapter 5, and you see this in 23, 22 and 23, but if you go a little bit farther down on there, you can also see the works of the devil, the works of the flesh. It's not hard to discern that. It's not hard to discern that at all. But we can see here again in the scripture of how that this word comforter is used in a several different ways throughout scripture. So we have one that came near to us. And Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come near you. Got one near me tonight. He's in this room. He's here even now. He's here right now in you and me. Somebody says, how do I know that the Comforter is with me? As I mentioned this morning, get born again. Give your life to Jesus. And somebody says, I'm tired of living the life I'm living. Well, turn it around. Change your direction. Repent. Let the Lord Jesus be the Lord of your life. Does that mean everything the rest of my life is going to be easy? Not for a minute. I was thinking to myself as I was finishing up the study on this about the different ones, and I mentioned Paul and Silas last weekend, but I began to think about the different ones that faced great difficulties in their life, and I can't think of any more of a difficult impossibility, wild, crazy, outrageous thinking. And the three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar said, bow. They said, uh-uh. Nope, not today. all right, you're going to the furnace. And they did. The Bible says, consider it not strange, the fiery darts that are to try you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's out there. But Jesus told you and I, hey, you have a paramuthos, one who is near. And then this muthos is a word that means to speak. It means to speak. In other words, he says, as Moses, that God came down and he spoke to Moses as a friend. I'm so glad to know that we have a friend in Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad to know that God looked out for you and God looked out for me. He said here in the Word again, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. 2,000 years ago, my mind always goes back to this scripture. Just kind of tell you a paraphrase of where we were at this morning, that Jesus said, except I go away, the Comforter won't come. And you can go back into Acts 1, and I'm not going to turn there and read it right now, but you can go back and read it. And it said that the angels was there. And that when Jesus had given that early church their instruction to go to the upper room, that there was a cloud that received him out of their sight. And the word said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? That this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And then Jesus had already instructed them and told them to go to the upper room and wait and tarry there until they be endued with power from on high. But here's the awesome thing about this. Now this is greenology. Okay, this is greenology. Somehow in my mind, I can see everybody standing around. Jesus was there. All of a sudden, Jesus began to ascend up into the heavens. Angels made the announcements. This same Jesus that you see go away. Somewhere, Brother West, between the ground and when he went out of sight. Again, this is greenology. I don't know how it happened. I think they gave each other a high five in heaven somewhere. Now you can go to the earth. I'm going to sit by my Father. And the Holy Ghost came down and filled that upper room. Hey, he's just as real today as he was then. Somebody says, I don't know, preacher, about all this Holy Ghost stuff. You're getting a little bit spooky when you start talking about ghosts and things. The word ghost is a word that means spirit. It's a Greek word that means breath, pneuma. And somebody says, I don't know about all that. I ain't going to buy into this invisible stuff. Really? Again, I don't know how it all works either. But I'm going to tell you something. Quit breathing right now if you don't believe in invisible stuff. Because there's oxygen in this room. All in this room. This room is filled with oxygen. You can't see it, but you got to have it to live. And I'm saying it the way I've always understood it is simply this. You may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but you see the effects of the Holy Spirit in your life. I can't see the oxygen that I'm breathing, but I bet you everything within me, I got to have it to live. The way I look at it, the church today needs the Holy Spirit to live. We can't make it any other way. I want you to stand with me today. My sincere and earnest prayer is that we all, as the Bible says in Romans, would yield ourselves to a fresh indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't feel Him. I don't go by my feelings. I go by my faith. Even though my feelings get the best of me every now and then. Come on, somebody. But we have to receive Him by faith. He said in the Word that the Holy Ghost is a gift. Amen? So I want us this evening to just simply say, Lord, here we are as Your church. We are here as Your church this evening, knowing and recognizing and hearing and understanding that, God, we need an indwelling of Your Spirit. You told them, God, that He should be with us and He shall be in us. That wherever we go, whatever we do, that the Holy Ghost is there with us in our uprising or our down settings. Wherever we go in life, that Your Spirit is there. And Father, every person in this room, I pray, oh God, and those watching online, would yield themselves to the Lord and say, Jesus, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit. And just accept it by faith that He is present. That He is present with us even now. Can I tell you something? You know if the Holy Spirit is present in your life. You know that. I don't have to do any hocus pocus over you. I don't have to throw nothing on you. I don't have to do any. I don't even have to lay a hand on you. You know it because He will manifest Himself in your life. And you're going to know that's the Holy Ghost. If you're walking through the valley or whatever the case may be, His presence, as He told Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. I'm hungry for that tonight. And I'm praying, God, just do it again. Do it again. Lord, fill Your people again. Fill us with Your presence. Fill us with Your Spirit. Somebody says, how many times can I get filled or refilled with Your Spirit? I can fill my car up with gas. I run it out. I run 2 or 3 tanks sometimes in a week. Seriously. Depends on where I'm at, what I'm doing. But you know what? There's a couple of times a week I've got to drive back into the Sheets, most likely, or Marathon, most likely, and refill that tank. Because if I don't, I'm not going to make it to my destiny. If the church don't go back to the filling station and get refilled, we're going to run out of steam. We're going to run out of gas. And I'm saying tonight, God, fill us up again with Your power. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.